No one is more surprised than I am to be here this evening. Can you believe it? I was on South Uist. Do you know where that is? The Outer Hebrides. And the phone went, and my son-in-law answered the phone. "It's for you," he said. I said, "Can't be." "No, who knows I'm here?" But somehow David George had got to know that I was there. And my own pastor, Stephen Clark, was unable to come. But he said, "Try Philip Williams." But he's on South Uist. But there we are. So I've got a lot to answer for, David George. But it is a privilege to be here. Good to see Arnold again. Arnold and I go back 44 years. We were both young people together in the Ford Movement Hall in Neath when I.B. Davis, Andrew, who'll be with you on Monday, his dad, he was the pastor there. And the Lord saved me in a little village called Abergwynfi and brought me down to Neath to the Ford Movement. And there I met Arnold and his dear wife as well. And we go back all that time. So all this is by way of just trying to get used to being here because I preach rarely, but I still count it a great privilege to preach God's word. And I look forward to the time when I might be doing so regularly again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and particularly the section which culminates in verse 20. "For all the promises of God in him are yes." And then in my translation, "And in him, amen." It's not that we say amen. Well, at least it depends upon, apparently, it's a textual problem, and I'm not here tonight to deal with textual problems. In some ancient texts, it says that Jesus is the yes, and we, his people, say the amen. But in the Authorized and the New Authorized, the New King James, it says that Jesus is both the yes and the amen. And without going into all the details this evening, that's what I want to concentrate on. That all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are both yes and amen to the glory of God. We read. Christian message is a glorious message, isn't it? It's the most wonderful message in all the world. I've just been reading, just finished reading a book, The Death of a Guru, it's called, and it's about the conversion of someone brought up in Hinduism and was very high within its ranks, high caste, a Brahmin, and knew all the ins and outs of Hinduism. And we just see the surface of Hinduism in our country. And quite obviously, we see the best face of Hinduism. But if you knew what was at the heart of Hinduism, then how dark it is, how evil it is, how demonic it is, and how anyone can say, as he discovered, and it's his emphasis, all roads lead to God. And he came to see how anyone can say that the Hindu road leads to God. He came to see that it leads to darkness and outer darkness. But this Christian message, it's a glorious message. It's the most wonderful message in all the universe. And of course, it's encapsulated in Easter weekend, the heart of the Christian message is the Easter weekend. Christ delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Or Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was dead and buried according to the scriptures, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very heart of our message, the very heart of the good news of the Christian faith. And these words gather it all up. And I want us to see tonight that Good Friday is God's yes, and Easter morning is God's amen. For all God's promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the background? What's the context to these words? Well, let me ask you a silly question. At least I hope it's silly. Has anyone here ever been shot at? I hope not, although we did hear on the television recently about a Christian in Parliament who's been much taken up with trying to get Christian broadcasting on terrestrial television. And such are his efforts that he received threats on his life, and one threat was to shoot him. Well, thankfully, he's still alive to tell us, and he hasn't been shot. Have you ever been shot at? Well, of course you haven't, literally. But I wonder, have you been shot at verbally? And we use the expression, don't we, that people in high places are there to be shot at. Our Prime Minister, he's there to be shot at, whatever you think of his decisions over Iraq. Who'd be the Prime Minister? Who'd be the Prime Minister? He's just there to be shot at. And so anyone in a prominent position is there to be shot at. And sadly, even amongst God's people, leaders in the church can sometimes be there to be shot at. And the Apostle Paul was being shot at by certain people at Corinth. He had informed them that he was going to visit them twice. He was on his way to Macedonia, but he'd stop off at Corinth, then he'd go to Macedonia, and then he'd come back from Macedonia and visit them again. But whatever went wrong, he couldn't do that. And he had to tell them, I can only come once. I'm coming on my way back from Macedonia. Well, that was just what his opponents wanted. There we are. You see, we told you about this man. You just cannot trust him. He's so fickle. Yes, yes, he says. No, no, he says. You don't know where you are with him. Does he mean yes? Does he mean no? You just can't trust the man. He's so fickle. And not only is he fickle, but he's frivolous. He changes his mind. Did I do it lightly, he said, because that's what they were saying. How lightly he treats his relationships with his fellow believers. He changes his mind at the drop of a hat. Such a frivolous man. Here he is dealing with eternal souls. Here he is dealing with his brothers and sisters. And one minute he's saying yes, then he's saying no, and with no. Why doesn't the man sit down and think about what he's saying? Why does he treat us so lightly? And so he's being shot at. Well, I'm sure Paul could have put up with that if it was just a personal attack on him. But his enemies, they weren't content with that. Ah, they were implying. If the man's like that, what about his message? Can you believe his message? Perhaps his message is as fickle as he is. Perhaps his message is as frivolous as he is. Well now, it's as if Paul is saying, and he will later in this letter, look, say what you like about me, but this message, it's God's message. It's the most important message in all the universe. And so he knew that it was his duty as a messenger to faithfully not only preach this message, but to faithfully represent it in his life as well. Because you see, it's vitally important for us as believers, whether we are preachers or not. It's vitally important that this message which we preach, this message which we bear testimony to, is borne out in our lives. Now, none of us are perfect, and none of us will always get it all right. But it's for us to see to it that there's a consistency between what we say and what we are. Now, we are told, you see, in the world that, well, a man's private life is his own. Doesn't affect his public usefulness. So a man can cheat on his wife and still be a good prime minister or whatever. His private life's his own. It doesn't matter if there's a consistency between what he is in private and what he is in public. Well, that can be debated, of course. I'd be very reluctant to trust a man in public who cheated in private. But be that as it may, for us as believers, and for Paul, he knew that there must be a consistency between what he said and what he was. And so, he must defend himself in order to defend the message. But he defends himself by pointing them away from himself and reminds them of the faithfulness of God. But as God is faithful, he says in verse 18, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, because we are representing the faithful God. How could we ever give you the impression that the God whom we represent might be as fickle as you trying to say we are? Might be as frivolous as you were trying to say we are? Would the eternal God be fickle with men's souls and with their eternal destiny? Would the eternal God be frivolous in his handling of the souls of men and women and where they will spend eternity? But as God is faithful, so, he says, our word to you was not yes and no. One thing one day, another thing another day. Fickle, frivolous. No, he says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. With this God, and with this message, and with this Lord Jesus Christ, you know exactly where you are. How a word to you in Christ was, yes. Because that's God's word to this lost world. That's God's word to needy men and women. God says to sinners, yes. Our word to you is not yes and no, so that you don't know where you are, whether you're coming or going. Our word to you is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God's yes. God says yes to you. And we know that he says yes because he's given us his son. So, that's the background. And I want us to see two things tonight. That firstly, this message, this gospel, is essentially a positive message. God's word to us is yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a positive message. Now, I know that there are negatives, but even those negatives are to be presented in a positive context. As we preach the solemn things and the serious things, and we've got solemn things and serious things to preach. We preach the holiness of God. We preach the majesty of God. We preach the awesomeness of God. We preach that our God is a consuming fire. We preach that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And these are awesome things, and things which will make sinners tremble. And yet, I say again, that even when we preach those things, we must not preach them in such a way as to leave people thinking, well, it's pointless me coming to a God like that. That God is so holy. That God is so transcendent, that God is so far removed from what we are. It's pointless a poor sinner like me coming to a God like that. It's all up with me. I'm lost forever. We have to preach these glorious truths about God in such a way as still makes him so beautiful. So desirable, so attractive, so welcoming of sinners, a God who says, yes. Now, he is the God who dwells in light, unapproachable. And yet the wonder of his grace is that the God who dwells in light, unapproachable, has made a way for us to approach him. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, an offering and a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. The God who dwells in light unapproachable says, approach me. I've made a way for you to come. My word to you is yes. My son says yes to you. I suppose it's wonderfully put in Hebrews chapter 12. Do you remember in verse 18? Here's the contrast, you see. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with an arrow. And was so terrifying, and so terrifying was the sight of Moses, was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Everything about Sinai said, no. Everything about Sinai said, stay away. Everything about Sinai said, you cannot come. Everything said, you dare not approach. If you so much as touch the mountain, you shall be thrust through. Everything about Sinai said, no. Well, says the writer to the Hebrews, you haven't come to that mountain. That's not the mountain that you've come to. But, he says, You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood spoke. It spoke from the ground. And it cried out for justice, and rightly so. A terrible crime had been committed against Abel, and his blood cried out for justice. His blood cried out for vengeance, for righteous retribution. The blood of Jesus speaks as well. But the blood of Jesus says, forgive them, cleanse them, make them white again. To the blood of Jesus that speaketh. See, we haven't come to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai says, no. Mount Sinai says, keep away. Mount Zion says, come. Because Jesus is God's yes. And this message is a positive message. Even the awesome things are to be presented within this context of our word to you was yes in Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is God's yes. Jesus is God's yes to returning sinners. Now, many of you tonight, obviously, I don't know, some of you might never have come to God, might never have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the Spirit of God has begun to work in you. And perhaps you've done some terrible things. Perhaps you haven't done terrible things. But you just have become aware that you're a sinner. And that you need someone, something outside of yourself. Could this be it? Could this Easter message? Could this message of a man dying on a cross? Could this be it? But when I think what I've been, when I think what I've done, what's this God got to say to me? Can I come to him? Can I return to this God? Well, if you knew the one who was writing, the Apostle Paul, do you know, he described himself, didn't he, as a blasphemer? A rage, I don't know. Paul didn't know anything about road rage, but he knew a lot about Christian rage. That is, rage against Christians, I mean. Breathing out threatenings and slaughters. He said, a blasphemer, an injurious man. I did hurt to people. He lived with that for the rest of his life, didn't he? Not worthy, he said, even to be numbered amongst the believers. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the chief of sinners. Why? Well, because I persecuted the church. I blasphemed that holy name. I raged against the people of God. And yet, that God said yes to me. That God said to Saul of Tarsus, come, Saul. Come and welcome. God's message is yes. Are you unconverted? Are you wondering whether there's hope for you? Or whether God will receive you? God says yes to you. Because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's yes. In him all the promises of God are yes. So to returning sinners, he says, come and welcome. He says, yes. But then also to returning saints. Who knows, there might be amongst us this evening someone whose love has grown cold. You are the Lord's. But you've left your first love. You've no joy anymore in the things of God. You've no delight in prayer. You've no delight in the scriptures. You've dragged yourself here tonight. You even wonder why you've come. And it was so different with you once. So different with you once. Once you were in the prayer meeting praising God with his people. Once he couldn't keep you away from the means of grace. But now you've left your first love. Perhaps others don't know about it, but you know about it. And God knows about it, because he knows your heart. And you're wondering, well, I've come once, but can I come again? Can I come back to him? Can I come back to him? God says to you, yes. All God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. Ah, but you're a believer and you've wandered so far, and you've, some believers we know go back to their former ways, back to their former friends, back to their former haunts. And now you feel so ashamed, and you feel so embarrassed, and you feel so guilty, and you feel so unclean. And is there a way back for me, you're asking? Well, all God's promises in Christ are, yes, I will love you freely. I will heal all your backslidings. God's message is yes. All God's promises in Christ are yes to returning sinners, to returning saints, to troubled saints. Perhaps you're a troubled saint here this evening. Perhaps you feel, well, I'm not making the progress I should. Others who were converted at the same time as me, they've made far better progress than I have. What does God think of me? How do I stand with him? Where am I in relationship to so-and-so? Well, look, you ask yourself all the searching questions. You ask yourself all the serious questions. You ask yourself all the hard questions. But when you've done that, you just know that God still says yes to you. Just as he did when you were his enemy. He loved you when you were his enemy. Do you think he doesn't love you now? Struggling though you are, a struggling Christian. Oh, stand up, the Christian who hasn't struggled at some time or another. But God still says yes to you, because all his promises are yes in Jesus Christ. Some are not just troubled spiritually, but some Christians are troubled emotionally. Some bring an awful lot of baggage with them into their Christian lives, don't they? And they struggle with deep insecurities. And they wonder, is it true that God loves me? Is it true that I'm really his? And they struggle with their insecurities. I remember one dear lady who said something like this to me. Do you know, I can relate to Jesus. He's the kind and compassionate one. But I can't relate to God, she said. Now, there's no need for me to go into the background of this. But because of things that she'd experienced, God to her was the stern one. God to her was the remote one. God to her was the frowning one. The Lord Jesus, he was the kind one. He was the compassionate one. I can relate to Jesus. I can't relate to God, she said. Oh, we bring an awful lot of baggage with us. All our insecurities, which we once placed on others, we now direct against God. Well, do you know, Good Friday says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Good Friday says, God spared not his own Son. Good Friday is God's yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good Friday is not Jesus seeking to make God willing. Good Friday is Jesus dying because God is willing. Because God spared not his own Son. God delivered him up for us all. That's why Jesus could say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. I and the Father are one. What you see in me is only a reflection of the Father's heart. What you see in me is only an outworking of the Father's heart. God says yes to you. It's not just the Lord Jesus who says yes to you. The Father says yes to you because all the promises of God are yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this message is, it's such a glorious message. It's a positive message. Even its awesomeness is preached within this positive context that all the promises of God are yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, be you a returning sinner, a returning saint, a troubled saint for whatever reason, God still says yes to you. God will always say yes to you. Because Jesus is God's yes. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All the promises, everything God has ever promised has found its yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not only a positive message. Secondly, it's an affirmative message. It affirms, because all God's promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we say amen, we are assenting. We are saying to God, so let it be. That's what the word means. Amen, so let it be. We've prayed our prayers, we've made our testimony, and we say amen to them. So let it be. But when God says amen, he is saying, it is. He's affirming it. He's affirming the truth. Because he's God the Amen. Did you realize that? There is one verse in the scripture, and it's to be found in Isaiah 65 and verse 16. And there God is referred to in this way. He who blesses himself shall bless himself in the God of truth. Now, literally, so I'm told by people who know about such things, I don't, I can only read about them. But people who know such things tell us that the Hebrew is quite literally, shall bless himself in the God of Amen. He's the God of Amen. He's the God who not only says yes, but who then in his grace affirms, so it is and ever shall be. God the Amen. That's who this God is. He's the God who affirms what he's promised. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Where does God affirm his promises? Where does God affirm his message? Well, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can then turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Thus says the Amen, God of Amen, is the God of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Amen, because all God's promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's enough that God should say yes, but he also says amen. And Easter morning is God's amen. And that's the loudest amen that this world has ever heard. The loudest amen is not in Aberystwyth in August when 1,500 Christians meet together and say amen to the preaching. The loudest amen was heard throughout the universe. And it was God's amen in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. And when that earthquake came, and when the rock was rolled aside, and when the Lord Jesus came forth from the tomb, God is saying, amen. Good Friday, yes. Easter morning, amen. Amen. God affirms his word. And he affirms all his promises. All his promises find their amen in Jesus Christ. Has he not promised both to save you and to keep you? He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion, to the day of Jesus Christ. How do I know that that's true? Because God has said amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has not Jesus said, you're in my hand, and none shall pluck you out of my hand? You're safe. He's promised to save us. He's promised to protect us. And Jesus Christ is God's amen. He's promised to provide for us. The God who will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is God's amen to God's salvation, to God's protection, to God's provision, to God's preservation, and finally, to God's consummation. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, God has promised. And in Jesus Christ, he said amen to that promise. Jesus is the first fruits of those who will be raised from the dead. All God's promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you've heard God's yes. You heard it yesterday, I'm sure, from Stuart Olliott. And I trust tomorrow, as you awake to Resurrection Sunday, and as you meet together as God's people, you will hear God's amen. Because all his promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all his glory, says Paul, of course, that's all we want, is God's glory. So, move on from the yes of Good Friday to the amen of Easter Sunday. And whatever your condition, whatever your need, You just know. You just believe that wherever you are, whatever you are, you come to God through Jesus Christ. And God says yes to you. And God says amen to you. And God says it all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say, amen. Amen.